Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
It's Jeep 4x4 season. Make your next adventure epic and hurry in now for great deals. And now, well-qualified lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2023 Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe for $389 a month for 24 months with $5,399 due at signing. Tax, title, license, extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease to Chrysler Capital. Extra charge for miles over 20,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 5/31/23. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Everyone, this is John Rocha, one third of the Geek Buddies, with this awesome ad for you. If you like this show and you want to make your own, and some of you have reached out and asked us about making your own podcast, well, let me tell you about Anchor. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never heard before. Go ahead and let your freak flag fly. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many more places. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Take it from us here at the Geek Buddies. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now, on with the Geek Buddies show. Hey, everybody, welcome to
the Geek Buddies!
Hey! This is our first Picard review on camera. We've also recorded Picard reviewer episodes 1 and 2, but it wasn't on camera. It's on our podcast feed, which you can go and listen to. If you haven't listened to our thoughts on episodes 1 and 2, you can do that right now. I am John Rocha. I'm one of the writer, producers, and host of The Outlaw Nation, and one of the co-hosts of this show, and the Top 10, and the Cinephiles. Anybody else?
I am Michael Vogel. I'm a writer and producer of animated TV shows and movies, and a big Star Trek Picard fan.
And this is Shannon McClung. I'm an animation writer and a television actor, where you may have seen me on Silicon Valley, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and the Goldbergs, and becoming a Star Trek Picard fan.
Yes.
As hey. Two
episodes. Varying degrees of experience with Picard. Certainly, I was a massive fan of Star Trek, not so much the Next Generation. You were the Next Generation guy. Let me finish the sentence before you give me the consternation. And then
I was waiting to see where we were going to go.
But you assumed the worst. Thank you so much, you Borg. And over here, Shannon McClung, who certainly is slowly becoming a Picard fan, which is great. So you got varying degrees of exposure to the Picard. I have loved this series more than the Next Generation. I can already say that after four episodes. For me personally, I just love the idea of Picard being his own crazy little thing. But yeah, that's been fun. But let's jump into episodes 3 and 4. We're gonna do it. It's a spoiler filled review. So if you haven't seen episodes 3 and 4, thanks for clicking on this. But go watch them, then come back and listen to our thoughts on it. Who wants to jump in first?
Go ahead. What are you?
Well, do we want to talk about episode 3 then 4?
Yeah, let's do that. But like, I think the way we did this last time too was, I like hearing what you thought of the episodes as someone who is coming fresh to this,
yeah,
who doesn't have all of the background and all the info, and then kind of filling in some gaps and talking about what we liked as well.
What you had assumed.
Real quick, the two episodes, The End is the Beginning and Absolute Candor. Those are the ones.
Yep.
Go ahead, Sarge.
Yes. Yes. What you had presumed about my enjoyment of the show ramped up precipitously in episode 3, and then we started to get a little bit of action. One, we started to get to know the characters more as well. But when the Romulan Death Squad, whose the name is escaping me at the moment, but when they kind of breach Picard's home, and we got that first great action sequence, and I was so petrified that Zaban, is that the male house guy? Yes.
The Romulan?
Yeah. I was so petrified. I'm like, oh, please don't kill this guy. Please don't kill this guy.
It was great. It was a very surprising moment for sure.
Yeah, really, really excellent show. I mean, I really like the addition of Santiago Cabrera's Rios character.
Yep.
Yes.
His holographic assistants Really, really fun idea. Now, is that something that they have done?
Yeah, so on Star Trek Voyager, it's the EMH, the Emergency Medical Hologram, played brilliantly by Robert Picardo, was one of like the breakout best parts of Voyager, because they were thrown so far away from Federation space, and they didn't have a doctor on board. So usually, there's a really funny moment in Star Trek First Contact where Beverly Crusher says, when the Borg are attacking, I never thought that I would actually use one of these. And she activates the Enterprise's emergency medical hologram, and it's Robert Picardo.
Yeah.
In Voyager, because they didn't have a doctor, he became like their permanent doctor, and they went into the future at one point and got technology that allowed him as a hologram to be able to leave the medical bay. So he was like one of the standout characters. So this is definitely sort of an homage to the Voyager side of things.
Yeah, super enjoyable. I love that we found out what the break with Picard and Raffi was. Mm-hmm. One, where they were shooting that, whatever that campus was supposed to be. That's College of the Canyons up in Santa Clarita, which is where I worked on The Mentalist a whole bunch.
Oh, nice. Hey, nice. It's beautiful.
It's really nice.
It looks like the future. I'm like, I want to go there.
It's super nice. When we were shooting that show, it was during the school year, and they weren't blocking the students off. So periodically, you'd have students come by and look right down the barrel of the camera. The star of the show was not a fan of that. But then going into episode 4, getting to meet Elnor, who...
I have the biggest Romulan crush on Elnor.
How can you not?
He is so sexy.
He's got the vibes of like a young Legolas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hotter. Whew.
Darker hair and sexier, apparently. Mm. Getting to see that action scene at the end, like, I wanted something longer just because I was like, ooh, we're going to get to see this guy really, really kick some ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just ended like that. Right. But it was so satisfying.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the show right now. I'm enjoying it.
Yep. I have to say I thoroughly agree. I've been enjoying the vibe, the new characters, and the characters have been introduced at timing wise the right time every single time, and getting the backstory of them down the road, not necessarily right off the bat, seeing they all have such distinctly different personalities, right? Allison Bill being the scientist who freaks out when that attack is happening and he incinerates himself. I've enjoyed her. I like Raffi. I like the ship's captain. I enjoyed the characters that came in episode 4, the samurai character, Slina, all this stuff that has slowly been introduced to me in the show. I've loved the chemistry of everybody involved. Yeah. And I love that everybody is calling out Picard. Picard is not getting a free pass here as some kind of hero worship. I really love that. You know, the way he gets attacked in episode 2 when it's like, oh, you think you can just walk on in here because you're a white male and you think you deserve consequences? You better get your ass on out of here. I love that.
You add a little extra sauce to that. I don't remember that in the scene.
The context is there. The context. It'll be between the lines, man. And then when he goes to see Raffi like totally calls him out on the bullshit he did because he left her high and dry. This has been Picard's thing in Next Generation. He will at times be so singularly focused that other people suffer and he expects them to just get over it.
Whether or not he expects them to get over it, I mean, I think one of the best lines, I think it's in episode 4, Absolute Candor, that I think is just a really great line as we are all going into this election this year. He says he sacrificed good in the pursuit of perfect.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That's not exactly it, but this idea that he was so focused on saving all of the Romulans and doing what he wanted to do when the Romulan supernova happened that when the Federation took that away from him, he stepped back entirely.
Yeah.
He didn't even do anything for the Romulans that he had saved, which is really apparent when he's on Vashti in episode 4.
Yeah. Seeing the older child that he left behind, all of that, yes.
So I do agree with you that I do love that they're not making Picard like, I was the right one, I was the noble one, and everyone else was wrong. Like, he's really dealing with a lot of the things that he did in his past when he kind of just, like, gave up and just took a step away. Like, his pride was so hurt that he stepped away, and now he's stepping back into this. I think it's really, really cool. I really like Allison Pill as Dr. Jurati. This isn't a spoiler because I don't know if it's true, but it's a prediction, but okay. I really think she might be a Romulan spy.
Oh!
I'm really...
You think she's a Romulan
spy? I think she might be.
You don't think a housekeeper's a Romulan spy?
No, those housekeepers are completely on Picard's side. Here's why. I'll tell you why.
She's a Romulan.
A couple of things, and I don't know if she is. And honestly, this isn't even. I hope she's not because I like her so much.
Yeah, she's so good.
I think she's so kind of charming and silly, but that's almost part of it. Like when Commodore O, the Romulan who's posing as a Vulcan in Starfleet, comes to see her with those weird sunglasses on. you never see what is actually said. She kind of looks up and she's like, I need you to tell me about your two visits with Jean-Luc Picard. And then she shows up right after those Romulan assassins, and she shoots one of them, which is like, and then she kind of throws the gun down. She's like, oh my God. And then she's so sort of disarmingly goofy and kind of silly on the ship with Rios and everybody. Yeah. It's like, if you were going to be a, and Rafi makes a point of saying in episode 3 that Picard didn't vet her at all.
That's right. That's so, right. She said, do you want me to run security on this? I guess we're just letting anybody come on the ship.
So
it's a good point.
All of those things put together make me very nervous because I actually like her so much. I don't, I want 100% to be wrong about this, but I kind of think they're going to pull a thing where at a pivotal moment later in the season, because they've already also established that Romulans can look human.
Yeah.
With the woman who's looking, who's working, the Romulan who's working for Commodore O, who's posing as a Starfleet officer.
Right, right.
So it's already there that it can be right in front of our face and we won't see it. So I'm super nervous that Allison Pill is a Romulan.
I think I'll split the difference and say she might be a Federation spy, but not a Romulan spy. She might have been in.
Well,
that's what I would say.
She has a hidden agenda.
Yes. Except unless she's, if she's working for Commodore O,
yeah.
which she may or may not be, like this is all just conjecture, but if she's working for Commodore O, she's a Romulan spy because Commodore O is a Romulan.
Right, but.
A Romulan spy in Starfleet.
She may not know that she's a Romulan, yes. And that's where I think the Federation situation might be
correct.
Part of it. Yeah.
So that makes me really nervous. Okay. But agree with everything you said. Also, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if she's for the Federation, the Federation is keeping tabs on Picard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which makes so much sense.
Couple other things. On the Borg cube, well, everything was happening with this. So Picard sort of getting back in touch with Rafi, going to meet Rios, the team getting together to go off to find Bruce Maddox on Free Cloud, wherever that is, whatever that is. Meanwhile, on the Borg cube, in episode 3, we got introduced to Hugh.
Yeah.
A Borg from the classic Star Trek episode, I, Borg.
By the same, and the same actor.
Same actor.
Back to play, which is great.
I was watching it with a buddy of mine who did not know that he was going to be on the show. And before they even said his name, he was like, is that Hugh? And he just recognized him from the voice because he was such a Star Trek The Next Generation fan. So Hugh, as most Star Trek fans know, like one of the first Borg to be separated from the collective.
Yeah.
By the Enterprise crew.
Whoa.
The hell was that?
That's you breaking the chair.
Jesus. Sure. No more candy before the show.
keep making jokes about the Romulan guy.
But so interesting between him being introduced in episode 3 and then of course like the big ending of episode 4, Jeri Ryan returning as 7 of 9.
Yeah, right. Awesome.
Awesome scene.
Another one of the most famous Borg to be separated from the collective.
Right, great points.
So it's gonna be really interesting to see what's going on with the Borg. Like why are they, what is going on with these Borg? How did Hugh, because at the end of I, Borg, Hugh was kind of put assimilated back into the collective.
Yeah.
So what happened between then and now? Where are the Borg at? What's going on with them? And why the Romulans are taking these Borg that have been separated from the collective and sort of bringing them back, particularly all the Romulans, because that led into the whole scene with Soji.
Yeah.
And the Romulan woman, Ramda?
Ramda?
Yeah.
Who was a very famous sort of Romulan philosopher before she was assimilated, who kind of freaked out with her little mystical cards and was speaking of this Romulan prophecy about this destroyer that was going to unshackle the demons, which very much seems like what they are doing to the Borg right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of really interesting, like what's going on with Romulans and the Borg and their backstory. I even read somewhere online, it might've been Screen Rant, some people thinking that the Romulans may have even originally created the Borg.
Wow.
So a lot
and that may explain their
why they have this prophecy and their aversion
to anything symbiote. Yeah. Oh, wow. Man, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, a lot of really cool stuff. And yeah, to your point, Shannon, these episode 3 and 4 definitely like stepped up the action in a major way.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say super satisfying. And I loved after they beamed back on the ship, after this kid saves Picard's life.
Yeah.
That guy was going to kill him, and Picard immediately dresses him down.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you should not have killed that man.
These are the things about Picard that frustrate me all the time. He is,
but he wasn't wrong.
He selectively principled, and selectively unprincipled when he comes to himself.
Well, I don't think he was wrong in what he said to
Eleanor,
though.
Sure, he's never wrong in what he said.
But what was the better option there? Letting this angry Romulan just gut him?
Yeah. Well, he could have defended Picard without killing the guy, because that Romulan, as angry as he was, and I think this is why the writers had Picard say this. It's like, that Romulan, who I believe used to be some kind of government official.
Yeah. Some sort of diplomat, I think.
As you pointed out, rightly so, Picard kind of left these guys high and dry.
True.
The Romulans have not had, the Romulans who survived the supernova have not had a good run. Like, Vashti is not a safe place.
Right.
And Picard, who came promising all these things the Federation was going to do, when the Federation said they weren't going to go all the way, he never went back there. He never still continued. So this Romulan's gripe with Picard, kind of valid.
Well, it also, you're in a roundabout way, your argument also forgives the kid, because the kid didn't have Picard there to guide him since he was younger, which is what had been promised. So, in essence, the kid killing that guy is indirectly Picard's fault.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it all, if you want to stretch it all out, you can make that case. It may not be a successful case, but you can make that case.
I'm really excited. I went back last week. I was so excited. I after episode three, and seeing Hugh as the Borg, I went back and I rewatched iBorg, the Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
I ended up going back and watching the Locutus of Borg, the two-parter where the Borg turned Picard in to Locutus of Borg. And then, because I knew Jerry Ryan was coming on in episode four, I jumped over to Voyager and I've started going through all the 7 of 9 episodes. Mm. So for anyone who's interested, who is enjoying Picard like Shannon but doesn't know everything, I believe it's the season 3 finale into the season 4 premiere. It might be wrong, but if you go on Netflix or CBS All Access, I think has all the episodes. It's Scorpion episodes 1 and 2 are the origin story for 7 of 9. And I think the episode directly following it is called The Gift, that is explains how 7 of 9 sort of went from being Borg to being what she became.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of lists online that list all of the 7 of 9 centric episodes of Voyager, the top 10 7 of 9 episodes. And it's really good to watch them because she was such a great character and so cool. And a lot of them really do feature, the Borg are featured a ton in Star Trek Voyager because they actually had to go fly through Borg space and there's a lot of stuff going on. So all that to say, 7 of 9 coming onto the show, I literally cannot wait for this week's episode to see what's been going on with her, what she's been doing, and just seeing how they're taking the Romulans and the Borg and what reveals. Because I think on the Picard side of things, it's a great adventure. And they've created a really dynamic, fun crew that is much more combative than had he been there with Geordi and Riker and everybody. So there's a lot of really interesting new characters. And watching how they go on the main adventure is going to be great. But what happens with the Romulans and the Borg and however they are deepening the mythology around these aliens and what's going on, that's going to have ramifications and reverberations through the Star Trek universe for years to come.
Right. Plus, everybody who is pretending to be other things throughout this whole thing, all these double cross, triple cross, spies, whatever, you know, the Romulan that's on the ship. Now there's questions about whether he's falling in love with the other sister, Soji.
Soji.
Whether he's falling in love with Soji. Now he's being questioned by his sister, who's a spy as well, obviously. So there's a lot of stuff that's moving all around, a lot of moving pieces here that keep you interested and excited to see what's coming up next. And I love the intrigue of the entire show right now, because you don't know where it's going
to
go.
And there's also the question hanging over all of this, which is, what happened to the synths on Mars when they destroyed the shipyards? And there's a strong suspicion, I think particularly with Rafi, that the Romulans might have destroyed the shipyards, or a faction of the Romulans may have destroyed the shipyards to prevent the Federation from saving them for some reason.
Yeah.
So a lot of really interesting, again, to your point, it's like intrigue. Usually when a show has intrigue on top of intrigue and characters changing things and whatever, it can get a little much. Mm-hmm. So far, it has just made everything more interesting and dynamic, to me at least.
And the mythology totally works, because you can go back and find old episodes of Romulans not using any artificial intelligence technology at all in the original series. And in The Next Generation. So it all tracks in that way.
There wasn't a lot of artificial intelligence in Next Generation. Data was it. I mean, nobody
was... No. Data was a unique artificial intelligent human being. There were other artificial intelligent things. He was unique because he was the most human of them all, which is why Maddox wanted to go back, having just seen Measure of Man, which is why Maddox wanted to go back and take him apart to figure out why he was this way.
What other AI was there during the Next Generation
era? I don't know. I'm not as knee deep into things as you, as some other people are.
Okay. Mm.
Any of our audience?
Yeah, I'm sure.
The answer to this question.
I'm sure in the comments section below. Yeah, let us know, for God's sakes. I mean, the Borg is essentially AI to the nth degree.
Borg is biology fused with technology. I think the thing that made Data unique is that his positronic brain allowed him to function and have his own thoughts and feelings,
which
made
him
AI. Yeah. Whereas anything else in Star Trek, they don't really have droids the way Star Wars does.
Yeah,
but there were no other sort of purely cybernetic life forms, and his positronic brain, to your point with Bruce Maddox in Measure of a Man, he wanted to take Data apart to study the positronic brain because he wanted to be able to copy it. And the issue there was that if he wasn't able to, he was saying to Data, I'm going to download your memories and I can store it over here. And Data was like, I don't think you can. And if you're not able to put me back together,
You don't get to do this.
There's no one else. There's nothing else.
I loved his response to Picard. I know we're jumping in a little bit into Measure of Man when he said, well, Geordi has better eyes than most human beings. Shouldn't human beings' eyes get gouged out and replaced by those things that Geordi has? And Picard's like,
again, I don't think Data said gouged out. Put a little sauce on that one too.
Sure. But Picard's reaction looked like he said gouged out.
Picard
was pissed. He goes, you're dismissed. Picard doesn't like to be challenged. But the Romulans, I guess I should go, the Romulans flip on switches when they walk into rooms. That's what I mean.
Right.
They don't trust anything that's technology-based. So it tracks throughout. And so we'll see how that plays out. And, dude, you put a real thing in my head, this idea that Romulans created the Borg. That would be fascinating.
I believe I read it on Screen Rant. I don't know that that's true or not, but... The relationship between the Romulan, because that is kind of one of those big questions as a Star Trek fan. You're like, what the fuck are the Romulans even doing with this Borg cube? Aside from, I think, and there's also, because whatever the Romulans are doing with this Borg cube is what the Romulans want to do with it. And then there's Hugh as a healed Borg post assimilated Borg. Running this entire program for the Romulans, but clearly not agreeing with the way the Romulans are handling everything, and that Hugh is very much more on board with Soji, who is sympathetic to the Borg. And so there's a whole sort of everyone's on that cube with sort of different intentions, which I find really interesting. And then again, like I said, throwing Seven of Nine into the mix, it's like, well, shit.
Yeah. What do you got to say?
Yeah. I know that Jerry Ryan plays a character named Seven of Nine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know that she was in Voyager. I was still happy to see her at the end.
Yes.
That was satisfying.
Yes. I read an interview with her. This was interesting. Then we can wrap it up, I guess. But unless you have more to say, because you're the boss. You're the boss. You're the boss.
We're all the boss here. It's the Geek Buddies, not Roga and the Geek Buddies.
We on Outlaw Nation right now. I know where my bread is buttered.
not the Geek Buddies and the Fantabulous Emancipation of
Roga. Of John Roga, right. Of the Outlaw.
Jerry Ryan kind of she panicked when she came on set for Picard when she read the script.
Sure.
Because Seven of Nine, and if you watch, she Seven of Nine was very much in a lot of ways the Data of Voyager. She was a Borg who had been separated from the collective, but was having to relearn how to be human, basically. And she had a very specific way of speaking. She had a very specific way of acting. And when she read the first, I'm assuming not just the line from episode 4, but like this episode 5 script, and she read the dialogue, it was not, this is not the same Seven of Nine from those episodes of Voyager.
Right.
This is not this very dry, non-emotive kind of person.
Her character is developed.
Her character is developed, and there was a lot of like, well, where, how did I develop? Where did, you know, there's a lot of questions about it. And I believe she said it was either Jonathan Frakes, who I think directed a couple episodes, or the actor who played Hugh. I can't remember exactly, but one of them said, it might have been the actor who played Hugh, kind of said, well, that she should think of it as Seven of Nine is still Seven of Nine, but she has become better at acting human.
Yeah.
And that really helped her figure it out. But I mean, it was an interesting thing. That's why I'm excited to see this week's episode, to get a lot more of her and see what's been going on.
That's a challenging note.
Yeah, true. That's very true. And as this thing goes along, I think we're going to get Data back at some point down
you think?
The road. Oh, yeah. I think some version of Data. I don't mean Data himself, but I mean his visions that Picard has been having. I think they will increase as they, or the Data visions might come back or increase as they come closer. Because right now, they introduced the twins, but the twins are living completely separate lives in different places, and they haven't brought them together.
One of them's dead.
Well, right. Fair point. Okay. Is that with the mom thing?
Lived a separate
life. I think that mom might be AI.
She's a program, right?
She's a program. But they did say both of the Romulan who's sleeping with Soji, I can't remember his name, and his sister.
Narek.
Yeah, thank you. So Narek and his sister have both referenced they need Soji to lead them to the others.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, like whatever Maddox was doing, there might be an entire
colony
of Dodge and Soji's you know what I mean? So that's going to be interesting too.
That's a warrior race if I ever heard of it. Yeah. All right. That's why you get a samurai on your hands. All right. There you go. That's our spoiler filled review of the last two episodes of, what did I say?
I need to get me a samurai like that.
He's swooning.
No, woo! Roman and samurai. Yeah.
Beam me up.
All right. Don't objectify the Romulan. That's the last thing he wants. Anyway, thanks everybody for watching this spoiler-filled episode of The Geek Buddies 4, Picard Episodes 3 and 4. Please make sure you like and share this social media. Like and share this on your social media. Retweet it. Put it out there for people to enjoy and watch and or listen to if you're just going to retweet the podcast feed, because we want to keep more and more people coming into the fold here on the Geek Buddy under the Geek Buddies tent on the Outlaw Nation Network. It'd be great.
Yeah, so if you'd like to follow us on social media, on Twitter it's @geek_buddies, on Instagram @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on social media, on Twitter it's @Shannon_McClung, on Instagram @ShannonTheGeekBuddy. If you'd like to follow Mr. Vogel, it's @MKToon. If you'd like to follow Mr. Roca, it's @TheRocaSays.
And hey, listen guys, resistance is futile.
Oh no.
We want to assimilate as many people as we can into our collective, and we need your help to do that. So leave us some comments right here if you're watching or if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor. Give us ratings, give us comments, retweet us, tell people to check us out. Yeah. The more people that engage with us, the longer this mission to explore strange new worlds and seek out new life and civilization will last.
All right. And on that note, please remember to hit subscribe on the YouTube channel as well. If you haven't done that as well, I'd appreciate it. All right. We'll talk to you next time on another episode of
The Geek Buddies.
Hey. Picard.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.